Hello, this is Radio Sweden Weekly with Liv Levitschnik and me, Dave Russell. Happy 1st of May, although we're recording this on the Thursday, the day before, on Walpurgis Day. There's no doubt, Liv, the top story for our listeners this week. A narrow majority of MPs in Parliament voted through the government and Sweden Democrats' tougher rules for Swedish citizenship, which will crucially apply not only to new applicants from June the 6th, but also to the 100,000 people or so in the queue waiting for a decision from the Migration Agency on their citizenship application.
Yes, the opposition party's countermotion to allow for transition rules in the new citizenship law so that people with pending cases can be judged by the current rules and not the stricter ones coming into force next month. Well, they didn't succeed, but it was mighty close with just one vote in it.
Voteringen utfallit med 147 ja-röster, 146 nej-röster. Kammaren har således beslutat i enlighet med utskottets förslag till beslut.
But that voting process has proved hugely controversial. Just a few hours later, early Wednesday evening, there was uproar as the opposition parties said that the Sweden Democrats had manipulated the result of the vote by going against decades of parliamentary convention to secure that one vote majority to defeat the opposition's counter-motion on transition rules. Radio Sweden's Chris Boswell joins us in the studio. This parliamentary convention relates to absent MPs in a parliamentary vote. Chris, first of all, if you can inform our listeners who might not know what this convention is about and what it's meant to achieve, can you just take us through it?
Yeah, sure. It's all to do with basically a gentleman's agreement, very Swedish, between all the parties in Parliament, and it's called the pairing system. Rather than having to force MPs to the chamber if they're sick or if they're away on international travel for important votes, there's a deal in place between the parties that means that if an MP from one side is away, then the other side will get one of their own MPs not to vote. So the aim is to maintain the majority in Parliament, especially when there are slim majorities, and not be sort of forcing people on their deathbed to come and vote for a vote, you know, that they can actually stay at home and it will remain fair. But yesterday, the Sweden Democrats got two of their MPs who had been paired and hadn't voted in the other votes yesterday to suddenly vote in this specific vote about transition rules. So basically, they themselves decided to unpair them, so to speak, for that vote.
And explain to the listeners why they did that.
Well, the group leader of the Sweden Democrats in Parliament has argued that they did it to ensure that the government and Sweden Democrats won the vote and that the result of the last election is respected. Because two independent MPs that have since left the party, I mean, they were originally elected as Sweden Democrats and then have left the party over the past few years, they decided to vote with the opposition. Now, that means that there was a majority to vote in favour of the opposition's proposal to have transitional rules for citizenship applications. And the group leader of the Sweden Democrats says she couldn't let these independents have such a large influence over such important policy. So therefore, she decided to get those two paired MPs to vote, basically to neutralise the votes of the independents, these former Sweden Democrat MPs.
So what's the opposition saying about that?
Well, they're absolutely fuming. They want the vote to be retaken with no pairing system in place. And that would, of course, mean that if these two former Sweden Democrat MPs voted the same way as they did on Wednesday, well, then the opposition would win that vote and there would be transition rules. They're also furious with the Sweden Democrats for breaking this gentleman's agreement between the parties. And this is an agreement that's been in place for decades. After a meeting between all the parliamentary parties, apart from SD on Thursday, they decided to put this pairing system on pause, at least for next week. And then they'll see whether it should be reintroduced later on after more meetings. But it's all a question of trust now.
But what about the vote? Could it be retaken?
Well, we don't know. This, of course, is just a gentleman's agreement between the parties. So officially, no rules have been broken. What would have to happen is that either the government puts the issue back to the chamber for another vote, or the Social Welfare Committee puts it back in Parliament for a new vote. But the government parties and the Sweden Democrats have a majority on that committee. So, you know, will they willingly want to lose a vote on policy that is considered very important for both the government parties and the Sweden Democrats? Swedish Radio's politics commentator said Thursday morning, like, never say never, but he wasn't entirely convinced the government would want to do that.
Radio Sweden's Chris Boswell, thank you. Just a reminder, we're recording this programme on the afternoon of Thursday, the 30th of April. Before the bill was passed in that vote on Wednesday, there was a lively debate between MPs in Parliament. Our reporter Ulla Embe covered the debate.
After many months in the making, the time when the new rules on Swedish citizenship will be passed into law is now near. MPs from all parties and one independent had signed up to speak, and the main arguments were familiar from the political debate heard in Sweden over the past few months. The opposition had coordinated parts of their effort in the debate to focus on the lack of transition rules. They said it will undermine people's faith in the system if the rules change midway for people who already have applied. Up to 100,000 people are thought to be waiting for a decision by the Migration Agency. The government parties, however, focused on what they say the new rules will mean for integration and national security. The moderate party was represented by MP Viktor Wernick, who described the current rules as having meant that Swedish citizenship has been handed out almost without any requirements at all, as he called it.
Vi har under alldeles för lång tid delat ut svenska medborgarskap närmast kravlöst.
He described the opposition as a soft touch on migration that would leave the country in chaos if they were in government. Nils Poro-Petersen from the opposition Centre Party said that no other country in Europe has introduced changes to their citizenship laws without transition rules, and warned that the government is putting one of the most Swedish of characteristics, trust, under threat.
Med regeringspolitik så avgörs människors plats i det svenska samhället. Inte av hur de har gjort eller vad de bidrar med, men hur snabbt de har fått handläggning.
He said with the government's policies, people's place in society are decided not by what they have done or contributed with or when they applied, but how fast their case happened to end up in a caseworker's in-tray. When coincidences like this are decisive, it undermines the trust in the rule of law, said Poro-Petersen, because laws need to be stable and predictable and fair, or we lose the faith in the system. But Ludvig Aspling of the Sweden Democrats scoffed at the opposition's talk of people's legitimate expectation that rules should not be changed to the individual's disadvantage mid-process, since he said the rules today are completely absurd.
De reglerna som vi har idag, de är helt galna. Finns ingen som helst anledning att ha en berättigad förväntan.
The rules we have today are completely crazy, and there is no reason whatsoever to have a legitimate expectation that they will remain, he said. Apart from their stand on transition rules, the opposition was not completely united, as the Left and the Green Party argued against most of the changes in the proposal, while the Social Democrats and the Centre Party agree with the government on, for example, income requirements, language and civics tests. The debate ended after almost 3 hours of arguments back and forth in front of a fairly empty parliamentary chamber.
Ulla Embe reporting there. So 100,000 or so people have pending citizenship applications with the Migration Agency who've been wondering what will happen with their cases post June the 6th. We have an interview lined up with the Migration Agency coming up a little later discussing this. But let's hear now from Patrick Gallen, who represents Fair Transition Sweden, a grassroots organisation that's been calling for transition rules for the cases already in the citizenship queue. We asked him for his reaction to the outcome of Wednesday's vote.
I am beyond disappointed and crushed, not because of the outcome. We thought we knew that we were going into an uphill battle. We actually, you know, we were cautiously optimistic, but we were not going to be surprised if we lost on this vote. But we actually had the votes. We would have won were if not for the cheating that the Sweden Democrats engaged in during the vote on the motion for transitional rules yesterday. So I am a little bit in disbelief.
What feedback have you had from people in Fair Transition since the vote?
They are devastated. unlike myself, I'm fortunate enough to be a Swedish citizen already. They, of course, are not, so this has a direct impact on them. It's unclear exactly what's going to happen with their applications, how the migration agency is going to handle the applications that have been submitted, if they're going to be paused, if they're going to be rejected, is as of yet unclear. We need to await the guidance documents from the government that will be coming ideally in the next couple of weeks following the passage of this law. But the people are really, really upset, to put it mildly, because this it really can alter the course of someone's life, right?
Patrick Gallen from the grassroots organisation Fair Transition Sweden. Now, the big argument that the government has used for extending the time people need to have spent in Sweden before qualifying for citizenship from 5 years to 8 years is security concerns. They have argued that the intelligence service, SEPO, needs more time to investigate some people applying for citizenship. And Liv, you spoke to a security expert on this, Hans Brun, who's a chief analytical officer at Scandinavian Security Intelligence, a company that works with infiltration issues in private and public companies and organisations.
Yes, and I asked him why the intelligence service needs that extra time.
The main reason for this is the fact that we have seen over the years a problem with infiltration and fake identity papers that people use when they apply for citizenship in Sweden and in other European countries. And this is also connected to the security situation and the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. We have seen over the years an increase of Russian hybrid warfare actions in Europe over the last few years. It's absolutely necessary to weed out the fake applications and applications using fake identity papers.
What does this extra time mean? Is SEPO looking for specific things, or are they trying to see if people do things they shouldn't be doing, or is it just concerning these false papers?
You have a number of reasons for this sort of delay. One reason is that we're getting more and more applications. More people would like to live in Sweden and become Swedish citizens, because having a Swedish passport is very helpful and very useful. It's one of the strongest passports that you can have, because you don't have to apply for visa most countries. So that's one reason, the number of applications and the number of complex applications. And the next reason is that the authorities in Sweden and in other countries have become more and more aware of the issue with documents that may look real, but as a matter of fact are fake. And it takes time to investigate and analyze them.
So why is it 8 years? Why not 15 or 25?
Because I think 8 years is perhaps a reasonable amount of time. 15 years or 20 years is, that's a third of a lifetime almost, or at least a quarter. And you know, there has to be some balance between security and personal liberties, I think.
Security analyst Hans Brun speaking to Liv earlier this week. Time now to hear our interview then with the Migration Agency on what the changes to citizenship rules will mean for people already in the queue and those applying after next month. Åsa Holmes is head of the citizenship unit at the authority, and we began by asking her what will happen with pending citizenship applications that don't live up to the stricter law on Swedish citizenship come June the 6th.
All applications, including those submitted prior to the new rules, will be assessed according to new law after June 6, as the Parliament decided that there would be no transitional rules. So if an application does not meet the new requirement, when we assess it, the applicant will be given an opportunity to supplement with additional information before a decision is made.
What will happen to those cases who do not live up to the length of citizenship demands when a caseworker looks into their case? So, for example, if they've lived in Sweden for, let's say, 6 years, when under the new rules they only qualify for citizenship after 8 years in Sweden, will their cases be rejected outright?
If they don't live up to the new requirements, yes, most probably they will be rejected. Yes.
How will it actually, you know, how will the Migration Agency actually check the new requirements, then you will be getting in touch with 100,000 people in the queue, or how will it work?
No, we don't have the resources to get in touch with 100,000 at once. We will be working like we always work. We allocate cases once case officers have available time. We allocate the cases and then the case officer will review and get in contact. So people will still be in the queue. We won't be able to assess all 100,000 applications at once. For example, there's this new Swedish language and civics knowledge requirements, and the tests aren't ready yet. But initially, you can also prove that you got knowledge through grades from Swedish compulsory or upper secondary school, studies at Komvux or Folkhögskolan, or a past SFE course to level D. You can also demonstrate your language skills through recognized tests like TESIS, the test in Swedish for university studies. So there's different ways of sending us documentation to see, to prove that you live up to the new requirements.
And what about the fees that the current applicants have paid? Will those be reimbursed if their cases don't meet the new requirements?
No, all applications that remain in the queue will be processed and assessed in due course according to the new law. And application fees are not usually reimbursed. It's as part of the standard process.
Okay, so can applicants withdraw their application and get a refund?
The applicants can always choose to withdraw their application and may request a partial refund. If the application has just been screened and is still in the queue, they can, after assessment, get up to half of the fee refunded upon this request. But no refund will be provided once the application is active under processing. That means that a case officer has allocated quite a lot of time investigating the matter. But each request is assessed on a case-by-case basis.
With regards to language and civics knowledge, for someone with a pending application who doesn't meet the language requirements, will their cases be thrown out or can they remain in the queue?
Well, it's the same scenario there, that we, once you're allocated a case of, you're in the queue, you're allocated a case officer, they will review your application and get in contact if you need to supplement with information regarding these requirements. So these things can't be assessed without the applicant's information, as they're new things to assess.
How will the migration agency judge applicants' Swedish language and civics knowledge when the tests aren't ready yet?
You know, it's still pending with the tests because the prerequisites for upcoming tests haven't been determined. So we have to wait for that. But in the meantime, some applicants, because they are established in Sweden, will have other ways of demonstrate their knowledge.
And what about for the civics part?
The civics part is there is a test planned from August, so that will be rolled out after that.
Sure. So will you be publishing those, like a list of somewhere where people can go and they say, okay, if I do this test or that test, or if I have SFE, or how will people find this information?
Yes, it will be published on our website. We're just at the moment going to, there's some finalizing things that needs to be in place before we can publish, but probably next week people can go to our website and get more information.
And that was Åsa Holmes from the Migration Agency explaining how the new rules will be implemented and what people with applications in with the agency can expect will happen going forwards. And to round us off in this Radio Sweden Weekly, Liv, you spoke to some of the people who have citizenship applications already in with the migration agency to hear their thoughts.
Yes, several are affected by the fact that there won't be any transition rules. One person, Bardia Bolorian, he moved to Sweden from Iran in 2019 and started working on a temporary residency permit. And he was granted residency status in 2025 and applied for citizenship in February last year. And he's lived all over Sweden for work, from Gothenburg on the west coast to Luleå in the north. And he thinks the new citizenship rules are very unfair.
To be honest, it is very hard to sleep now. My concern is not about living longer time in Sweden or living a faithful life, which I was living a very good life and paying taxes nonstop. And I have very high income considering in Sweden. The main problem for me is suddenly this law come to the force and I'm not prepared. For example, when it's come to language requirements, for the past 7 years, I was working long hours and nonstop, night shift, every day 12 hours. So I really didn't have much time and energy to put into learning new languages. Mm. And suddenly my application going to get rejected because of language requirements, for example. I believe that this is totally unfair for me.
And there we heard Bardia Bolorian there. And another person concerned about their future is Emma Sinervo from Canada. She's a medical doctor who works at the Center for Epidemiology and Community Medicine at Karolinska Institutet. And she moved to Sweden in 2022 on a research permit and started working on a PhD in 2023. And she got permanent residency in March 2026 and has submitted her application for citizenship.
Feels a little bit like a stab in the back. If I would have had applied after June, at least then you have this very clear cutoff. This is kind of the rule. This is when we're going to change it. But this kind of question, this in-between, is really frustrating because it almost feels like it should be illegal.
And another person in the citizenship queue is Sam Calverley, an editor working in film and TV from the UK who lives on Kungsholmen in Stockholm with his British husband, who has been granted Swedish citizenship. And Sam thinks the government is wrong in pushing through new citizenship rules without transitional provisions for those with pending applications at the Migration Agency.
If they vote against having transition rules, I think I would be very, very disappointed and quite upset. And it feels like the government made promises that they're now reneging on. And to quote Ebba Busch, when she said, when you make a deal with a Swede, it stands to reason that they will follow through. We're always true to our word. We've built a life here now. It does throw up questions of whether this is a place we would want to continue living in.
Sam Calverley, one of the 100,000 people in Sweden who've applied for Swedish citizenship, who will be judged by the new rules coming into place on June the 6th. And that's all we have time for on this 1st of May edition of Radio Sweden Weekly.
Yes, and we didn't actually have time to mention the king, 80 years old. Mm. Lots of pomp and ceremony in Stockholm yesterday.
Indeed, congratulations to him. The artist, players out, Have You Got a Name and a Song for His Leave.
It's got to be Sara Larsson again. I know we played her a lot lately, but she struck big at Sweden's annual music award, the Grammys, on Wednesday. This one's Blue Moon. Have a great weekend.
Bye for now.
Shine on me, kiss me in the dark. Tell me I look beautiful underneath the stars. Head on your chest, that's my favorite part. Don't we look beautiful underneath the stars? Shine on me, kiss me in the dark.